Hello, everyone. Welcome to Narcissism Recovery Podcast, produced by the Magnolia Healing Center. I'm your host, Yitz Epstein. In this podcast, we'll be delving into topics related to narcissistic abuse, codependency, childhood wounds, childhood trauma, mental illness, and all things narcissism. The purpose of this podcast is to bring widespread awareness and healing to the global epidemic of narcissism and codependency. It is my hopes that with this podcast, we can collectively create an environment of health and healing for you, the individual, and for the world at large. Let's begin. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me for today's episode. Today, we're going to be discussing the healing power of intimacy. So I discuss intimacy a lot on this podcast. If you are a listener of my podcast, you'll hear me say intimacy. I'll use the word a lot. When I use intimacy, I'm referring to closeness and human connection. You see, I see healthy intimacy as a fundamental part of our lives, our mental health, our relationship success, our overall well-being. By that same token, relationships that lack intimacy, when intimacy goes wrong, such in the case of narcissism or codependency, it has catastrophic effects on our lives. So in today's podcast episode, I want to discuss the importance of intimacy, especially as it relates to healing. I want to discuss why so many of us struggle to establish intimacy in our relationships and in our lives. And finally, I'm going to offer some tips on how we can build a life that is based on intimacy in a way that is sustainable and in a way that fulfills us in the deepest way. So before we begin, I'm going to suggest the book. This is a must read. This is a book that actually really changed my perspective on intimacy. It clarified a lot of things that I was struggling with myself. This book is Seven Levels of Intimacy by Matthew Kelly. So this book gave me tremendous insight into the importance of intimacy and offered some techniques on how we can develop intimacy in our lives, both personally and interpersonally. So I highly recommend this book. And as usual, I'm going to put a link to purchase this book in the description section below. Now to begin, from the moment we are born, we have a basic need for intimacy. We never outgrow this need for intimacy. It just adjusts as we mature and grow. So it changes as we evolve. Now, while this need for intimacy may look different at different stages in life, at the core, the need is the same. It's a need for closeness. It's the need for intimacy. Now, intimacy is going to look different depending on what situation we're in, what stages of life we're in, if we're in a relationship or not, and sometimes moment to moment based on what we are experiencing in our life situation. So in some moments, intimacy can be validating emotions. In others, it could be communicating, having a conversation, and in others, it could be sex. Now, as we grow up from childhood, if our need for intimacy goes unmet, if it gets frustrated, if it gets even used against us, or let's say exploited, we begin to formulate a faulty relationship with intimacy. We begin to have a distorted idea of what intimacy is and what it means to us. For example, in a case where, let's say, we were abused in childhood by a parent, we are going to begin to feel shame associated with the need for intimacy. In many ways, we'll crave intimacy. Deep down, we're going to want it, but also we'll resist it and even avoid it for fear of experiencing similar hurts and ultimately being exploited like we did in early childhood. Now, the great irony of healing is that we need intimacy to heal intimacy wounds, but we also resist intimacy because it wakes up old pain associated with intimacy that was exploited in the past. So intimacy requires us to be open, vulnerable, trusting, present in the moment, authentic, transparent, and unconditionally accepting. So in order for healing to occur, we need to essentially open ourselves up and be intimate, which essentially it's going to go counter to what we learned early on in childhood when we were, let's say, being exploited or abused, where we cannot be vulnerable, we cannot be intimate because it's not safe. In order to survive, we need to protect ourselves. We need to defend. So what we do is we start to defend against intimacy to protect ourselves from getting re-injured. However, these defenses are essentially creating resistances and barriers to intimacy and therefore not allowing the healing that would come through intimacy to occur. So in order for healing to occur, these barriers must be broken down and intimacy must be experienced. So healing essentially demands and requires that we muster up the courage to open ourselves up again, to bring our pain to the light, to bring the denied fragments of ourself into our conscious awareness for healing, and to bring our shame into the present moment. It requires us to be intimate with ourselves and vulnerable with the parts of ourselves that, let's say, we are ashamed of or we are running away from. And this intimacy that I'm referring to here is intimacy with self. In order for healing to occur, we must be intimate with our pain, with our shame, with our past, in order to resolve the things that need our healing. Now, healing with other people can help us heal. It can be very much a facilitator in our healing because intimacy with others is most usually going to trigger deep wounds where, let's say, intimacy went wrong, where our needs were unmet, where we experience intimacy wounds. So when we get triggered in our intimate relationships, essentially what it is a sign that we are being called to heal on a deeper level. Now, without an intimate relationship, it is very possible to hide from ourselves entirely. And you see this with single people who will sort of be coasting along and all of a sudden they enter into an intimate relationship and all of a sudden they're being forced to face all this pain that they've essentially been denying from themselves or hiding from when they were didn't need to confront themselves because they didn't have that intimacy. And when we're single, we are able to build walls to the sky, right? Forts to defend against our wounds, against our triggers. We can armor ourselves in bulletproof armor, all in an attempt to resist the pain of re-experiencing the hurts that left that when we were wounded, when we were shamed and hurt early on. So in essence, when you're single, it's a lot easier to hide from yourself. But if we ever want to reach our full potential, if we want to grow into the person that we were meant to be, then we cannot hide from ourselves. And this is why intimate relationships that force us to confront ourselves and to face our unresolved past is so paramount and almost necessary if we are going to heal. So intimate relationships do not allow us to hide from ourselves. In a very real way, intimate relationships are going to reveal us to ourselves. And this is why they heal us. This is why they're a part of our healing process, an important element of it. Now, this is also why we fear intimacy so much, because intimacy essentially is confrontation with the parts of ourselves that we would, in many instances, do anything to avoid. However, once we do embrace ourselves fully, once we get intimate with our pain, and once we start to integrate the fragments of self, once we heal the child within and embrace ourselves fully and wholly, unconditionally, then we can start to know what it means to be intimate with ourselves. And when this is the case, we are going to be able to build a life with other people and engage in relationships that are fundamentally intimate and ultimately bring us the fulfillment that we are seeking when we do enter into an intimate relationship. Now, intimacy challenges us to find our whole authentic self. Essentially, intimacy forces us to face the parts of ourselves that we denied, the fragments of self. And once we use the relationship as a way to integrate and become whole, then we are essentially going to find ourselves. We're going to become more authentic. Now, by finding our authentic selves, we are going to find, by definition, our true purpose, because our true purpose is dependent on who we are. So by finding our purpose that comes from finding ourselves, that is how healing comes about, because through finding and living our purpose, we can then align with that purpose, which allows us to ultimately grow to our full potential. So in The Seven Levels of Intimacy by Matthew Kelly, he explains that life is essentially about growing to our full potential. This is the fundamental purpose of life. It's essentially to become the best person that we can possibly be. And all things that we do in life, no matter what we do, should be geared towards this central purpose. Now, intimacy is one of those tools to help us reach this essential purpose. When we allow our intimate relationships to be built around the central purpose of assisting our partner and ourselves, obviously, in growing to our full potential, our intimate relationships are going to thrive. Now, without this, at the core, at the center of our relationships, they're not necessarily going to have the strength and the proper consciousness, intention, and foundation to weather the storms of life. And in essence, they are not going to be strong enough, and they will usually fall apart. They are unsustainable. Now, relationships that are built with our life purpose at the center are sustainable. All of life is essentially designed to help us reach our full potential. So when we allow our relationships to be a tool to then assist us in our purpose, we are transformed from chasing pleasures or chasing highs to appreciating life on its terms, going with the flow, and ultimately allowing ourselves to grow and be fulfilled as a result of that growth. Now, the struggle we experience in our intimate relationships, the struggles, the conflicts, the issues that arise become very meaningful and essentially a necessary means. These conflicts become a necessary means of growth and living our essential purpose. So if our intention is to grow in our intimate relationships, if we enter into intimacy with the intention to grow to our full potential, then we're not necessarily going to run if there's adversity or if there's triggers, if there's pain. We're not going to project it onto our partner, but rather we're going to get present and use the environment for healing. We are going to see the challenges that show up as opportunities to grow let's say, deeper roots, and therefore ultimately stronger sense of purpose, bring us closer to our purpose in life. Now, when we approach intimacy in this way, suddenly our partners, let's say their irritations or the struggle that shows up between partners, it's not just something to tolerate or to move past or to get over or even to deny, but rather what it is, it's a call to grow inwardly in our ability to show compassion, let's say empathy, or to realize who we are on a deeper level. And suddenly mistakes that are made or life's frustrations are not random, and they're not just something, like I mentioned, to just do away with or wish away, but rather they are essential, and in many ways they are very necessary in helping us to develop into our highest self. So in the book, Seven Levels of Intimacy, according to Matthew Kelly, he says that there are seven levels in which we could experience intimacy. With each level that we go towards, essentially there's a deeper, more personal, more fulfilling level. And those levels are namely cliches as the first level, facts, opinions, hopes and dreams, feelings, weaknesses, and fears, and finally the highest level of intimacy that we can possibly have are needs. This would bring us the most fulfillment. So in the lower levels of intimacy, cliches, facts, and opinions, we are mainly concerned with keeping things flowing. There's not a whole lot of conflict. We're not really sharing too much of ourselves. Conversations include such as, how are you? You know, I'm well, thank you for asking, things like this. And as we go higher into the scale of intimacy, we are going to share more of ourselves. We're going to express more personal emotions, and eventually we end up at the highest possible level of intimacy, according to Matthew Kelly, which are needs. So according to this Matthew Kelly, this level of meeting each other's needs is when we feel safe enough to open up to our intimate partners in a way that we are able to feel safe enough to express our deepest needs, and when we trust enough to let ourselves be seen in our most vulnerable and naked human state. When we allow ourselves to have our needs met by another person and have another person have their needs met through us, we have reached a level of intimacy that is truly powerful. It is healing, it is fulfilling, and ultimately the most an extremely important level of intimacy for it to be sustainable long term. Now, this is a tremendously difficult level of intimacy to reach. It's also extremely rare. Now, the statistics tell us that about half of relationships, half of marriages end in divorce and separation. And of those that stay together, I would argue that very, very few, maybe even less than a percentage of those, reach the level of intimacy that is, according to Matthew Kelly, the level of needs. Now, when we start, anybody who starts out on a relationship journey to intimacy, no one commits to separating. No one thinks that their relationship's going to end. So essentially, we all genuinely believe that our relationship will be the exception to this rule, and ultimately it's going to last through thick and thin, and we're going to stay together, right? Now, ultimately, based on the statistics, in many ways, this is a sort of denial of the facts. So why does this happen? Why does the promise of fulfilling intimate relationships so often end up in breakups, and in many instances, it ends up in disaster? So why does developing intimacy seem to be so difficult and elusive at times? Now, to answer this question, there are some truths that need to be entertained, explored, and some lies dismantled so we can fully be aware of what intimacy is and therefore invest in it properly. Firstly, intimate relationships are a growth tool. They are not a place to soothe our wounds, to escape our pain, to meet unmet needs of childhood through our partner or through the relationship. They are not a place to deny parts of ourselves by, let's say, projecting unresolved conflicts onto our partner. They are designed for a purpose and a very specific one, to assist us in growing to our full potential, to self-actualize and become the person that we can be. If this is not the intention of partners at the outset of the relationship, they will inevitably collapse under the weight of false expectations and ultimately disappointments. Now, growth is often very, very painful. It demands that we face ourselves fully, and it requires that we come out of hiding and out of denial and essentially step into reality. Now, unless we are willing to commit to growth, and unless we are willing to come out of denial, we're not going to get the intimacy that we're searching for. And in many instances, like I mentioned before, being single, you can stay in denial, but when you're in a relationship, the denied parts of self, the defense mechanisms that you protect yourself against intimacy, are going to hurt the relationship. So the options are either to work through those barriers and come closer to our partner, or ultimately allow those barriers to break the relationship apart. So it requires the courage to face those things that are getting in the way of healthy intimacy, breaking down those barriers so intimacy can thrive. In addition, so many of us fear the risk of being vulnerable. We don't want to be open. We don't want to trust again, especially if we've had experiences in the past where we have gotten hurt. Now, in many instances, we say we want a healthy relationship. We even go through the actions. We commit to a relationship, but we don't necessarily want to give up the attachments out of fear to identities, behaviors, comforts that stand in the way of our highest growth. Another point to make is that we very often confuse sex with intimacy. Now, sex can be an expression of intimacy, but in many instances, it is not. Now, we want to connect with someone in a very deep way, which is most notably experienced through sexual intimacy. However, sex does not guarantee intimacy. Sex can be an expression of intimacy, but sex itself can also be used in a myriad of different ways that are even exploitive, abusive, and ultimately not aligned with the intention to bring people closer and allow them to experience more and more growth. In many instances, they can actually be used as a way to break people apart and to bring people farther from each other. Furthermore, intimacy is a journey inward. It's a journey of self-growth. And it's a journey that could be done alone or it could be done with a person. It doesn't necessarily have to happen in an intimate relationship. It's about discovering oneself fully and wholly in order to develop an unconditionally loving relationship with oneself, self-acceptance, accepting all of who one is, and ultimately connecting to all of life. It's being intimate with life itself. Now, we think of intimacy very often as just a committed relationship with one person, but essentially, intimacy, by definition, is connection to all that is. And yes, we may be in a committed relationship with one person, but by being intimate with this one person, and then them assisting us, and we assisting them in coming closer to our authentic selves, becoming whole, becoming self-accepting, loving ourselves unconditionally, we then become intimate with every element of ourselves and all of life as a result of that. Now, most of us are running from ourselves. And at the same time, we also want intimacy, which by definition, they cannot exist together. They are exact opposites in a sense. This is why we are in many ways so frustrated. We want closeness, but we refuse to take the time to even get to know ourselves. And it is by developing intimacy within that we are going to be fulfilled. And this, like I said, this can happen alone or with another. And without intimacy with self, however, which includes caring for oneself, self-care, engaging in accepting all elements of oneself, having compassion on one's shortcomings, one's humanness, meeting our needs, and growing and really healing from what we've gone through in the past, whatever it is, trauma or abuse, and really fully making peace with our existence, we can never really claim to be intimate with ourselves, and then ultimately we won't be able to share that intimacy, that sense of self with another person. Next, intimacy is synonymous with giving. Most people at the outset of a relationship are going to enter into a relationship with the intention to get. You know, what is this relationship doing for me? And this is very much normal at the beginning of a relationship. This is certainly understandable and very much healthy. Now, the goal is to move past this stage and to evolve and mature in a way that we are able to find joy in another person's happiness and engage in intimacy for the satisfaction and fulfillment that giving has. Now, most relationships do not necessarily evolve to this point, and where they end, where they break down and break up, is at the point where they only invest in if they're going to get something out of it, and it falls short of experiencing the tremendous fulfillment that occurs with giving and ultimately receiving the fulfillment that comes by the exchange of giving and receiving. So relationships like this are going to die under the pressure of trying to fulfill expectations of our partner and ultimately fall apart under the disappointment of never being able to be enough or be what you want it to be for self-serving purposes. In essence, it cannot grow past that stage where it simply exists for the sake of giving. Now, intimacy is essentially where we learn how to give, and if we are entering into intimacy to get, it's going to fall apart. So when we learn and we realize that intimacy, in order for us to reach our full potential, we need to be able to offer ourselves, our love, our gifts, our service to the world. And by this giving, we are able to reach the fulfillment that occurs through intimacy. And finally, who you surround yourself with is everything. If your circle is not challenging you to grow, if they're not telling you things you don't want to hear, but you need to hear, if they're not cheering you on when you win, chances are that you are surrounded by people who are not growing, and therefore, instead of being intimate partners, they are most usually distractions and getting in the way of your growth. Intimacy, by definition, is going to challenge you to make you a better person, and it demands that you step out of your comfort zone, that you step into your authenticity, and essentially face yourself. If your relationships aren't doing this, then while they may be mutually beneficial, perhaps there's a shared common interest or shared pleasure This is not necessarily intimacy, and as a result, when that shared common interest is no longer there, the relationship will eventually fall apart. So to conclude, when we don't get intimacy through human connection, which we crave so desperately and we need it, it's a fundamental need, it's a basic need, what we often do is we fill this need with addictions, exciting, thrilling, risky behavior, and as a result of that, we end up getting farther and farther from ourselves. We're chasing these thrills all in an attempt to get intimacy, but ultimately we can never feel fulfilled because that is not intimacy. Now, to believe that we don't need intimacy in our lives is to believe a lie. We are born connected, and while we don't necessarily need intimacy to survive, we most certainly need it to thrive, to grow, and to heal, and to become who we were meant to be. So we can either run from our wounds, we can run from our pain and fear, and essentially we'll have to pay the price, which is living a life of quiet desperation, or we can make the courageous choice to face it all, accept full responsibility for our lives, develop intimacy with self, and eventually with other people, and then find out what it truly means to live a fulfilling, intimate life. Now, the greatest of human joys comes through intimacy. The greatest fulfillment that human beings can have is growth and reaching our full potential that comes through human connection. And based on this, we can understand that the greatest of human pains comes from the lack of intimacy. So extremely important, extremely fundamental to our happiness, to our well-being, to our ability to grow and feel fulfilled in life. So if you are struggling in life and you're struggling with mental illness, you're struggling with reaching your full potential, with growing, whatever it is, take a look at your intimacy. Take a look at the intimate relationship you have with yourself. Perhaps there's a lack of it, or perhaps people around you are not necessarily encouraging you to grow, in which case we want to find people who are growth partners, because through growth we connect, and through that connection we heal, and we're able to grow and evolve to our full potential, which essentially is the purpose of life. Thank you all so very much for joining me for today's episode. Until next time, all the best.